Isaiah 55, and I'm going to start at the start of the chapter there. I won't necessarily preach a missions message for the most part this morning. I think the Lord has something a little different, but it has a little to do with that. It says in verse 1, "Ho, everyone that thirsteth, come ye to the waters." And at the start of that verse, it's kind of getting your attention. Ho, hey, everybody who's thirsty, come to the waters. Everyone that thirsteth, come ye to the waters. He that hath no money, come ye buy and eat. Yea, come buy wine and milk without money and without price. That's fine. Wherefore do you spend money for that which is not bread, and your labor for that which satisfieth not? Hearken diligently unto me, and eat that which is good. Let your soul delight itself in fatness. Incline your ear, and come unto me. Hear, and your soul shall live, and I will make an everlasting covenant with you, even the sure mercies of David. Behold, I have given him for a witness to the people, a leader and a commander to the people. Behold, thou shalt call a nation that thou knowest not, and nations whom knew not thee shall run unto thee because of the Lord thy God, and for the Holy One of Israel, for he hath glorified thee. Seek ye the Lord while he may be found. Call ye upon him while he is near. Let the wicked forsake his way, and let the unrighteous man his thoughts, and let them return unto the Lord, for he will have mercy upon him, and unto our God, for he will abundantly pardon. Let's pray. We'll talk about this passage today. Father, thank you for the opportunity, the privilege to preach your word, Lord. It's such a great honor and holy sacred thing, yet, Lord, I'm not worthy to preach your word. Father, this is the perfect, holy, eternal word of God. And Lord, these truths are not transferable by the ability and wisdom and teachings of mankind. It's got to be your Spirit. We pray that the Spirit would take over today, and I pray you do a mighty work, and I pray that some great purposes for eternity will be accomplished, and I pray we'd be spoken to. Anybody who might not know you as Savior would be saved, and those who are saved today would be filled, Father, and you'd work powerfully and speak through this message now. In Jesus' name, amen. Well, it's in this passage, God says that life can be a very dry experience, a very wearying experience. I know when I wasn't saved, life was very dry, and when I'm not doing the Christian life right, it's very dry also. It's very hard. It's very trying. Life is a trial. Life is grinding of things against each other. It's a battle. Your bills don't get paid easy. Your health doesn't get good easy. Your relationships don't go well easily. You go through life and you put your effort and your time into things in life, and life can be very dry and hard and not easy. You can see it on people's faces. Many people in our culture, many people on the video we saw, they had the weariness in them of exhaustion and laboring in a life that is exhausting and wearying and dry and harsh and that exhausts you and wears you out. And God addresses that in this chapter because life is a dry and wearying experience in its normal condition. We soothe and medicate that dryness and that trying experience, that exhaustion that comes from life, the dryness that life gives you. We soothe that through many things that we get in life. That's why people have to be entertained. They have to be entertained because to sit and think, they get depressed. If they don't occupy their mind with something, kids always nowadays have an iPod on. They always are watching something. People always have to be entertained. The video stores are not going out of business. The video game consoles are not going out of business. Because most of that is not just entertainment, it's escape. People think they have to get rich. They have to get somebody beautiful in their life. They have to get this. Because they try to soothe things through entertainment, through movies and games. They try to soothe and get away from the emptiness of life that they have and the dryness of life through intimate relationships and sexual things. And they try to escape through those things to get a high in life. They try drugs and alcohol, and they go back to them over and over, because they don't satisfy you. And you get drunk once, and boy, you feel good for a while, and then all of a sudden you come out of it, and you got to get drunk again. And that's why it tends towards alcoholism. And that's why drugs tend towards addiction. It's not just physical. It's because they're doing that because they're not satisfied. When I became satisfied in Christ, I don't have a desire to get drunk anymore. I just don't. You put alcohol in front of me. My dad was an alcoholic. I grew up drinking since I was a youngin'. I have no desire to get drunk anymore. I have no desire for drugs, though I took drugs the first time when I was in third grade. I have no desire for it. Why? Because I don't need to escape my mind from reality to be okay. And people always got to go back to that thing, and they got to escape into a movie. They have to escape into some kind of sports. They have to escape into something else. And they get way too much into things that don't matter, i.e. Little League games. Watch the parents. I mean, they're so intense into everything. Gamers. You ever see these gamers? These guys, I mean, they're kind of loony because they get so into their video game. I know a guy, or there's a person who comes to our church, and they have a friend, and the friend just sleeps. He's on disability, and he sleeps and sleeps and sleeps as much as he can possibly sleep in a day. And he takes his sedatives, and he sleeps 16, 18 hours a day. And then he wakes up because he can't sleep anymore. He gets up, and he watches TV, and then he can't wait till he can fall asleep again. And the person from our church said, "Why do you do that? Isn't that miserable? You got back problems from laying in bed too long? And all you want to do is sleep and sleep and sleep and sleep." He says, "I have no reason to be awake. Life is miserable." Because life can be very dry and empty and hopeless, and you labor, and as Solomon said in Ecclesiastes last week, you labor all you have, and then you leave it all behind for somebody else. Your kid who hated you and disrespected your whole life gets the inheritance for all you labored for. Life is a very vain thing, as Solomon said, under the sun, and it's a very dry thing. We try money, and people sedate themselves with money, and if I get enough money, I'll be happy. And they get all the money and get all the gadgets, and still life is dry because money won't satisfy. The rich people say that. They write songs about that. "I don't care too much for money. You know, I can't get no satisfaction." Those are written by very rich people who had everything in the world and women crawling all over them and all the fame they wanted, and they couldn't get any satisfaction. Because life is dry and empty without Christ. They get toys, they get cars, they get gadgets. There's new things all the time. It's amazing the technology you can buy because people want to escape. They want to get away from things. But it comes back always in the end to the same dry life of two hunks of metal grinding against each other, and the struggle of life is just a grind. And God says, "I don't want you to live that way." He says, "I have the solution." He says, "Come ye to the waters. Ho, everyone that thirsteth, come ye to the waters. And he that hath no money, come ye, buy, eat, and yea, come, buy wine and milk without money and without price." He says, you go and labor for that which doesn't matter. He says, if you are thirsty, and God puts that need for him in a thirst. He explains it as a soul that is thirsty. And we'll read other verses on that. He says, your soul is thirsty for me. And you who are thirsty, that's why you're trying to make $1 million and it wasn't enough. That's why you tried to get the gadgets and it wasn't enough. That's why you're trying the relationship and divorce and remarriage and divorce and remarriage. And that's why you have to escape all the time, because your soul is thirsty and it is not satisfied, because life will not satisfy you. Nothing under the sun can, except for above the sun, God. He says, a couple things. I have a solution. Come to the waters. Number one, quit laboring for that which will not satisfy you. Verse 2. Wherefore do you spend money for that which is not bread, and your labor for that which satisfieth not? First of all, God says to you, quit laboring for that which will not satisfy you. Can I say for a second? Most everybody in the world, and I hope it's not you, but most everybody in the world, and Christians do this too, they spend most of their life and most of their energy for that that does not matter. Just doesn't matter. "Oh, I got this, and oh, I got this gadget, and I moved in this nice house, and I moved in this." Listen, you can only sit in one room at a time. You don't need a 10-room house. And you got to vacuum the rest of them. And your kids can disappear and you can't find them. Why do you labor? You know how much effort we put? When you begin to serve God and really get on fire for God and really love God and get involved in ministry and really get to know the Christian life, you'll find a very strange thing happening to you. You'll find your secular job is very, very empty in and of itself. Doesn't matter how much you make. Doesn't matter how much it was what you always wanted to do. It's just kind of, I got to do this to get by. Now, if you do it for Jesus, you'll become satisfied in it again, but you'll begin to realize that just laboring for a paycheck is a very worthless life. It's very empty. You'll find out that just making money, it wasn't all it promised to be, and that nice house you thought you'd get someday wasn't all great, and the fancy car is just a car after a while and doesn't really satisfy you. And everything you think that will eventually satisfy you, that person you wanted to be with, you thought was the most beautiful thing in the world, they're just another face after a while. Because the things in this world get kind of dull, and they get kind of dry, and you never stay satisfied, and you always need more. And he says, don't work for that which satisfieth not. Yes, you have to work a job, and yes, you have to pay your bills, and that's all godly and good, the Bible says, to do that. Labor for the Lord and pay your bills. However, do not put all of your strength and life and energy and time for that which doesn't matter. Making money and having entertainment is not going to matter in 1,000 years or 100 years. What you leave behind and what you leave in heaven will matter. And then he says, dig in. Quit laboring for that which doesn't satisfy you. Come to the waters where God satisfies you, and then delight your soul in fatness. I like that. He says right here in verse 2, wherefore do you spend that which for that which is not bread, and your labor for that which satisfieth not? Hearken diligent unto me, and eat ye that which is good, and let your soul delight itself in fatness. I was on vacation, and then I had to meet with a bunch of people for a bunch of days in a row. And everywhere I went was meeting with somebody somewhere like Starbucks or somebody. I was at somebody's house, and they offered me something sweet. And I was on vacation on the road and just eat junk. And you know what? After a while, sweet stuff and all the yummy stuff gets nasty. And you just want bread and butter. Just give me something. Just give me something bland. I don't want coffee right now. I don't drink coffee. I drink creamer with some black stuff in it. And it just like blah, giving away that stuff. It's like going to the all day long to the fair, and all you eat is cotton candy all day. And it tastes good for a while, but it never fills you up. And you want something solid, and that hot dog starts looking real good. More than the cotton candy. And he says, why are you laboring your life for that which is going to satisfy you? These things this world aren't going to satisfy you. And then come to me. Come where I am, and you will find. You'll find wealth, milk. You'll find wine. You'll find food. You'll find all these things. You'll find waters, and it'll be rich. And he says, what you are trying to get is not going to satisfy you. Hearken diligently unto me, and eat ye that which is good, and let your soul delight itself in fatness. See, for a little while, the pleasures of sin, the pleasure of sin lasts for a season. It's fun for a while, but eventually it comes up empty and dry. And he says, come be with me and eat ye that which is good. And then it says, let your soul delight itself in fatness. Now, biblical times are much different than American times nowadays. We have an obesity problem. Biblical times, it was very hard to get fat. Everybody was trying to eat enough calories, though they weren't counting calories, and everybody's pretty much skinny. Go to the third world, it's still like that. Everybody's skinny. And if you were very wealthy and very blessed, you would have enough food where you could actually gain weight. And that's what the Bible says, the righteous shall be made fat. Some of us are more righteous than others. And so he says, just sit down there and just eat. Be in my presence and make yourself rich and full with the things of God. I'll explain that a little later. Where is this water and feast? He says, just dig in there and enjoy it. Where is this water and feast? First of all, it's in God. Let me take you to Psalms. I'll say in Isaiah, but I'm going to be in Psalms a little bit. Psalms 42. See, in the presence of God, when you get around God, you get life becomes rich. You know, before I was saved, I occasionally contemplated suicide because I had a miserable childhood. You know what? Nowadays, I wish I had 10 lives to live. There is so much to do in life. Life is so full and so rich. I mean, it's so fun to be with family. It is so fun to go to church. I would love to go to the mission field. I would love to go do so many things. I'd love to pastor in many areas. I would love to help people. I'd love to have an orphanage. There's a million things. Life is so rich and so full. Life's good. I don't want to sleep my life away. If you really find a fulfilling life, you wish you could sleep less. Because days aren't long enough. There's so much to do. That's the presence of God, and life becomes fulfilling and rich and not empty and not hopeless. The first thing that thirst and where you find the water and food to satisfy your soul is in Christ, is in the Lord. Psalms 42, as the heart panteth after the water brooks, as a thirsty animal goes after water, so panteth my soul after thee, O God. My soul thirsteth for God, for the living God. When shall I come and appear before God? He says, my soul is thirsting for God. Can I say, animals, when they get really, really thirsty, are almost uncontrollable. They want that so badly. As you read about the Oregon Trail, the oxen and horses and mules who are coming across the desert, as they get across the desert, at the end there was a river there, and many times you could not stop them from running that. Many times they just run all the way into the river and drown themselves and take the whole wagon in the river because they're so thirsty there's no way to stop them because they got very thirsty. And in the Bible it says, my soul thirsteth for thee, God. My soul longeth for thee as in a dry and thirsty land where no water is. I want you, God. I want to be close to you. I want your presence. See, life is dry because God put a dryness and an emptiness in you that only He could satisfy. And until you get close to God, you never get that satisfied. Jesus said to the woman at the well, he said, whosoever drinketh of this water shall thirst again, but whosoever drinketh of the water that I give him, it'll spring up in him a well of everlasting life, and he shall never thirst again. When you get God, he comes inside of you, and it becomes a spring of water that wells up inside you, and the relationship with God satisfies your soul, and now you don't need anything but God. You don't have that need. I did not say a religion can do that for you. A religion can't. Christianity cannot get you satisfied in your soul. There's many people who go to church whose souls aren't satisfied. Open Door Baptist Church cannot satisfy your soul. I cannot satisfy your soul. A religion cannot do it. A person, the Lord, can satisfy your soul. You've got to get close to Him. You don't need to be religious. You can be religious and do everything Open Door tells you to do, but if you don't get close to God, your soul will not be satisfied. Many Christians think they're spiritual because they do the actions of being spiritual, but they're not satisfied in their soul because they've never gotten close to God. It's a person who satisfies you, not a religion, not a church. You've got to personally get close to God, and you'll find that rich meal of everything you could want and the fatness of total satisfaction, the old country buffet for your soul, is in God. As much as you want. He will never leave you dry and thirsty, but everything else will. A personal relationship with Him is firstly what you need. Secondly, you need to be in His presence. You need to be in His presence. If you go back to Psalm 16, in verse 11 it says, thou wilt show me the path of life. In thy presence is fullness of joy. At thy right hand there are pleasures forevermore. In His presence at His right hand, close to God, is where you find total satisfaction and total pleasure for your soul. It says in Acts chapter 3, verse 19, it says, then shall the times of refreshing come from the presence of the Lord. Your soul is dry, you're parched, you're thirsty, you've been walking through the desert of life and you just are dying for a drink and your mouth is parched, your tongue feels like a piece of wood, you need a drink, your skin is getting chapped, your lips are bleeding, and you come into the presence of God and there is as much to drink and as much to eat and watermelon and water and milk and cantaloupe and everything you could quench yourself with. It is refreshing, and you take a drink. You've been so dry that when you take a drink, you feel it all the way go through you. You take a drink. That's what happens when you get close to God. The dryness that your soul felt that made you have to run around and try everything to try to get it satisfied will be satisfied through a person. When you get in His presence, it happens by being in His presence. It says the times of refreshing come from the presence of the Lord. Where do you get in God's presence? You get it in prayer, you get it in Bible reading, you get it in church. Spending time with Him. He says, I walk in the midst of the church. You'll be refreshed if you go to a church where Jesus is. I walk in the midst of the church. I dwell where two or more gathered my name, in a church. You get refreshed at church. When you leave here, you should be more refreshed than when you came. You came out of that dry world. When you get in the presence of God in prayer, when you get close to God and get a close relationship with Him, you will be fulfilled and you'll be satisfied. Secondly, and that's for those of you who aren't saved especially, because if you don't know if you're going to heaven today, if you've never accepted Jesus Christ as your personal Savior, you don't have that satisfaction in your soul. And you can't get it through religion. You've got to get Jesus Christ to save you. He died, was buried, and rose again for your sins. Your sins have separated you from Him, and you'll go the rest of your life without having your soul satisfied. You might have some fun in the world, but your soul will be dry without Him. No wonder the psalmist said, "My soul longeth for Thee, as in a dry and thirsty land. I long for Thee. I need You, God. I want to be close to You. I'm thirsty for You, God. I need You." And that's what we really need. Let me say, many Christians who are saved, and some of you are saved today, and you say, "My soul is still kind of empty. I still feel kind of dry in my soul. I'm not enjoying this thing like you're talking about. My life in spirit, my life in soul is not richly satisfied." First of all, you got to get in God's presence. You need to spend time with Him and get to know Him. But let me say, the second thing the Bible says that we thirst for and it gets that we need to come to the waters for is the power of the Holy Spirit. The power of the Holy Spirit. Let me take you to Psalm 63. See, many Christians go to church, and many Christians are decent Christians and aren't doing a bunch of bad things, but they say, "You know what? I'm not really satisfied." Can I say this? You need to be a Spirit-filled Christian before your soul is satisfied. You need the power of the Holy Spirit upon your life. You as a Christian will still have a longing and a thirst in your soul until you get the power of the Holy Spirit in your life. Psalm 63, verse 1. "O God, Thou art my God, early will I seek Thee. My soul thirsteth for Thee. My flesh longeth for Thee in a dry and thirsty land where no water is." That's what we're talking about, this world. But then he goes on. Not only is it thirsty for You and longing for You, God, but in verse 2, "to see Thy power and Thy glory, so as I have seen in Thy sanctuary." He says, "I long to see Your power, God. I long to see that." And every Christian, God implants in you a desire to see the power of God, to see God do something big, to see revival happen, to see life transformed, to see God's presence come in and do something big. There is a natural stirring in every Christian for revival. They may quench that. They may try to satisfy that. You want to see God work. You want to see God use you. You want to see souls saved. You want to see lives change. You want to see people come to Christ, that you lead to Christ. And you want to see God use you. And you want to influence somebody. And you want to see revival. And you want to see the church explode the power of God. It is natural for every Christian to long to see the power of God and to long for the Holy Spirit. Yeah, most Christians live dry. They have no idea the power of the Holy Spirit. They think it's an emotional thing, or they roll in an aisle and howl like a dog and do all kinds of weird things. That's not what happened when they got the power of God in the Bible. When they got the power of God in the Bible, their lives were transformed, and people got saved, and lives got changed. And Christians get some fruit from the Holy Spirit. It's love, joy, peace, long-suffering, gentleness. The fruit of the Spirit is all these satisfying things. Love and joy. When you get the power of the Holy Spirit in your life and He's controlling you, you'll find that. Isaiah chapter 44 says this. If you can go back to Isaiah, because we're going to go back there in a moment to our text. But Isaiah 44 talks about the power of the Holy Spirit. You need to long for the power of the Holy Spirit, because you don't get the power of the Holy Spirit unless you long for it. You don't see God's Holy Spirit doing a mighty work unless you long for it. You don't see God doing a great work, and God does not pour out His Spirit, and He symbolizes His Spirit as water. You don't see that Holy Spirit power unless you long for it. Isaiah chapter 44, verse 2, "Thus saith the Lord that made thee and formed thee from the womb, which will help thee. Fear not, O Jacob, my servant, and thou Jeshurun, whom I have chosen. For I will pour water upon him that is thirsty." That's what he says there. Who is thirsty? "And floods upon dry ground. I will pour my Spirit upon thy seed, and my blessing upon thy offspring, and they'll spring up and grow, and everything will go wonderful and powerfully, if you long for it." Can I tell you this? You're looking at someone who longs for the power of the Holy Spirit. You're looking at someone who's not satisfied with the power I have. "Oh, maybe if I compare myself to the average Christian, I'm okay." But that's not doing much. That's like saying I can beat up every 3-year-old. That's not saying much. Can I tell you, I long for the power of the Holy Spirit. I'm not satisfied with a few people saved. I'm not satisfied with having an okay church. I'm not satisfied with having a big church if it's not the power of God. I want to see God do something big. I want to see God transform things. If I was a missionary and I was going to one of the countries, I'd long to see that. Not just go there and build a church of 340. I want to see my country saved. I want to see a transformation. I want to see people all around the nation look around and say, what in the world happened to my nation? Good night. This guy came in and this nation's turned upside down. That's the power of God. Christians need to long to see that. Christians are so satisfied with little tiny things. Mercy drops around us are falling, but for the showers we plead. Yeah, mercy drops are nice, and little blessings and little things are nice. But the power of God, great things happening. You've got to long for God to use you. You've got to long to see God working. You've got to long and thirst for the power of the Holy Spirit. He's called the water. You're commanded to be filled with the Spirit. Be not drunk with wine, wherein is excess, to be filled with the Spirit. That's a command of God. You are commanded to be filled with the Spirit. You're indwelt with the Spirit the second you get saved. You're not filled with the Spirit. The Holy Spirit's inside of you, but He is not controlling you and filling you up. He's just in there. But when you give your life to Christ and you yield to God and you thirst for that power and you ask for that power and you long and you seek God's power, when the Holy Spirit begins to flow in your life, it is satisfying because God is flowing and working. And if you don't have that, you're going to be very unsatisfied in the Christian life because the Holy Spirit satisfies you. He fills you with love. He fills you with joy. He fills you with peace. He fills you with long-suffering. He fills you with patience. Let me ask you, Christian, do you have the power of the Holy Spirit? Are you dry and weary in your soul? Have you really had God empower you for His service? When I was a teenager, I longed for that power, and I sought for the power of the Holy Spirit, and boy, I wanted God to work, and I just, something inside me made me and my friend, we just began to fall on our faces at night and just pray together for God to do a work, and we began to pray, and boy, God started working in my life and stirring me inside and changing me. And I remember to a process of me dying to myself, being a 17-year-old boy going to camp, and I was getting ready to preach at camp, and boy, I've been dying to myself and asking God for His power. And I'm not talking about some weird, gigantic experience. It doesn't have to be like that. It's a yielding, and it's an asking, and it's longing and thirsting. I will pour water upon him that is thirsty, he says in verse 3. I remember praying that at camp, and I was sitting on a set of stairs. I was going to be preaching to the whole camp, and the pastor had me preaching. And I said, God, I've got to have your power. These kids, there's so many of them, had so many struggles, and they're so wicked. Lord, you've got to just fill me. And I just felt no way to explain it except for water come into my soul, and my entire dry, parched soul felt it all the way through me. And I just felt the power of the Holy Spirit come upon me. I didn't speak in tongues. I didn't do somersaults. I didn't do anything like that. I walked in there and preached, and the power of God came, and we had a revival at camp. I long for that, and I long for the power of the Holy Spirit all the time in my life, and I don't have enough power, and I long for that, and you need to have that. You need God to use you. You need God to do a great work. How are you going to raise your kids in this world without the power of the Holy Spirit? How in the world are you going to raise your kids in this world without the power? How are we going to reach Seattle without the power of the Holy Spirit? We need something big. We need something powerful. How are you going to get victory over that wicked addictions you have and all the things in your life and all the bad things that are flying at you from the internet to the wicked looks, to all the addictions, to all the sin, to all the anger and all the things you have in your life that you can't overcome? You need God's power to come upon you. He's the Holy Spirit. He'll bring holiness in your life. We need to long for that. We need to ask for that. We need to not be satisfied. God has some questions in Isaiah 55, and I got to go quickly. He has some questions for us in Isaiah 55. First of all, you might say, can I afford this feast? If I'm going to sit there and get rich and get all this satisfaction, it's got to cost some. Doesn't seem like that. If I came to you and say, everybody, some guy comes up to you on the street and says, hey, guess what? I've got the best deal in the world for you. I got something. You're going to be so satisfied. You're going to have everything you ever wanted. You're going to say, how much it cost? And you come and say, how can I get it? I don't have much. I don't know much. I don't have many skills. I don't have much money. He says, verse 1, ho, everyone that thirsteth, come ye to the waters, and he that hath no money, come ye, buy, eat. Yea, come buy wine and milk without money, without price. It's free. The satisfaction that comes from the Lord is free. Jesus paid it all. His presence is free. You don't have to pay to get in his presence. You just go there. Be there as much as you want to be. I right now have a well in my yard. The owner told me about it. But I don't know where it is. And it's not hooked up anymore. When we're hooked up to the public water system, it's 195 feet deep. I know it's somewhere between my shed and my garage. And Timmy keeps on telling me, Dad, we got to go find that well. He capped it off and left it there. And I've got all this free water waiting for me. If I ever get time to find it and figure out how to hook it back up. You know, you, every one of you are born again. You right now have all the satisfaction of your soul and all the water and all the Holy Spirit you can ever want. It's there inside of you. He dwells in you. You have it. It's free. The offer, secondly, will you listen when he is speaking to you today? Verse 3, incline your ear and come unto me. Hear, and your soul shall live. See, God's going to tap some of your heart and say, you need to get close to me. You're not spending enough time with me. That's why you're empty. He might tap some of you who don't know Jesus Christ as Savior today and say, you need to be saved today. Are you going to hear? Because you won't get satisfied if you don't hear. And he may speak to some of you and say, you need my power. And speak to your heart about the power of the Holy Spirit. And you may say, you know what? I don't want anybody to think anything bad about me. And you won't respond and hear when he talks to you. And you won't get satisfied because you won't hear. Things you need to know about this offer. Number one, the blessing that you get will draw people. Verse 5, behold, thou shalt call a nation that thou knowest not, and nations that knew not thee shall run unto thee because of the Lord thy God, for the Holy One of Israel, for he hath glorified thee. Can I tell you, when you get the presence of God in your life, people see that and say, I want what you have. You seem so rich and satisfied. You seem to have such blessings in your life. You seem to be so satisfied. And you seem to have such peace and joy. People run to that. Church should be an experience that's happy and joyful and rich because we want people to want to come here. Church should not be so look like we're all pallbearers. That's not what Jesus said. I come, you might have life, you might have it more abundantly. People respond to that. They want what we have when we have that joy, when we enjoy the Christian life and love serving God, because we should, because we're eating as much as we want, everything that will satisfy us. Next, let me say the offer will end without notice. Verse 6, seek ye the Lord while he may be found. Call upon him while he is near. Can I tell you this? God speaks your heart today, you better respond because he might not speak to you tomorrow. You might not be able to get saved tomorrow because his Holy Spirit might not draw anymore. Might say, I'm done trying to draw you. If you're a Christian and God taps in your heart and speaks to you, it says, if you hear his voice, harden not your heart. Today here. If God speaks your heart today, you get right with God. You come down to this altar and say, Lord, I need your power, or I need to get closer to you, God. The offer doesn't last forever, and you've met some dead, old, dry Christians who don't hear God's voice anymore. Preachers still preaching, and people are still responding, but some of those people, they're just hard because it's a temporary offer. You don't know when it'll end. Respond while he is near to you. You need to forsake your sin, verse 7. Let the wicked forsake his way. Just quickly running through a couple things. Why? Because your way is wrong, whether you think it is or not. Verse 8, for my thoughts are not your thoughts, neither are your ways my ways, saith the Lord. For as the heavens are higher than the earth, so are my ways higher than your ways, and my thoughts than your thoughts. If God today says your way is wrong, it's wrong whether you agree with it or not, or whether you feel it's wrong or not. Your way is wrong, God's way is always right. He's always right. And let me say lastly, he has enough mercy for you. Verse 7, let the wicked forsake his way, and the unrighteous man his thoughts, and let them return unto the Lord, and he will have mercy upon him, and unto our God, for he will abundantly pardon. You might have forsaken God. You might have done really bad things. You might have known what's right and still done it the wrong thing anyway. You might have done terrible sins that you don't want to tell us all about. You might have things that if we knew about, we'd be aghast about your sin today. Can I tell you, God has enough mercy. He will abundantly pardon. Though your sins be as scarlet, though she is white as snow. I don't care if you murder people. I don't care what you've done. I don't care how evil you've been, how much you've forsaken God. If you've wandered from God today, he says, I'll abundantly pardon. Come on in. The feast is right here. You're walking through a desert, and there's a bunch of trees and an oasis. And you walk in there, and there's a lawn chair and a bunch of people sitting there sipping on nice drinks. lots of food, a big kitchen. There's all the food and water and a little stream trickling through and food cooking in the fire and everything you ever want. And somebody says, there's as much food as you can possibly want. Sit down and enjoy and relax. But I don't deserve this place. He says, it's free. You want it? The presence of God will satisfy you. And the world will keep saying, just spend more money. Just walk a little farther in the desert. See that water up there? It's a mirage. It doesn't satisfy you. Only He can satisfy you. Only the Lord can satisfy you. Not religion. Why do you labor for that which satisfieth not? Can I ask you today, why would you live your life for things that aren't going to matter? Why would you put so much effort into a temporary world that's going to be gone someday? You're going to get old so quickly. Your life's going to be empty so quickly. And you're going to look back and say, why have I spent my life? What have I got to show for all this effort? Some of you have already said that. Why don't you go and get that which satisfies, which is God and His presence and His power today? Let's bow for prayer. Father, thank you for your word in this beautiful Isaiah 55, Lord. And even as you went through it quickly, it's just a beautiful passage. You're an invitation for us to call upon you while you are near and listen. And Lord, come and get as much as we want and delight our soul in fatness. Just enjoy the rich Christian life. And we do so, Lord, I pray. I pray today we do that. Our heads are bowed, our eyes are closed.